Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Also on this Labor Day, President Obama met with labor leaders in Boston, where he signed an executive order requiring companies who work with the government to provide paid sick leave to their workers. He said too many people still don't have that benefit.
Let's face it, nobody wants a waiter who feels like they have to come to work when they're coughing or contagious. But if they don't have sick leave, what are they going to do? They got to pay the rent. That's not good for anybody.
This is not the president's first executive action on worker benefits and pay, and many Republicans see it as an excessive use of power, sidestepping Congress. Derek Thompson is senior editor at The Atlantic, and he joins us now from New York. Derek, glad you're working today.
Good to be here. Thanks, Peter.
Sure. So tell us who this latest order applies to, because not every worker in the country here is going to feel the benefit.
Certainly not every worker in the country. This directly affects a couple hundred thousand people. The executive order says that if you work for a company that is contracting with the federal government, you are guaranteed up to 7 days of paid sick leave each year. And this order will affect both the full-time workers with those contracting companies and their part-time workers. So the way sick leave typically works is that you earn sick leave as you work. So for every 30 hours you work, you earn 1 hour of paid sick leave that year. But I should say, it's not just sick leave, and it's not really just for workers. People can take time off for their family, for a boyfriend, a girlfriend, domestic partner, to recover from an event like assault. And then finally, it should be said that this rule wouldn't take effect until early 2017, when we will have a new person in the Oval Office. So this goes toward Obama's legacy. It's not going to take effect next year.
Right. And as we said, the president sidestepping Congress with this action. It's the point of an executive order. Republicans don't like this, but he is calling on Congress to do something about the issue in general. What's that?
He's also calling on Congress to essentially extend this rule to medium and large companies in the rest of the country. That is requiring all companies with more than 15 employees to have similar paid sick leave protection. Again, that is up to 7 days a year. And I should say, on the one hand, one could say he's sidestepping Congress, and that might be a fair characterization. This is also a scenario where one of the themes we've seen, certainly of the second term of Obama's presidency, and even in the first term, is that the president has a very difficult job getting Congress to do just about anything.
No.
So is he sidestepping, or is he passing legislation that we should have expected Congress to be acting on in the first place? I'll leave that question open at least for a few more seconds.
And if you heard the speech today in Boston, it sounded very partisan. Obama was criticizing Republicans about their labor policies. And I think you're getting at some of this here, because it kind of begs the question, what happens if a Republican presidency, what does that mean for the labor movement if a Republican wins the White House?
Yeah, it's an interesting moment for labor right now. You have the introduction of a lot of interesting things. We're recovering from a recession rather steadily with job creation, but wage growth has been very slow. You have the introduction of this new, rather confusing segment of the labor force, these on-demand workers, people who work for Uber and those type of companies. Where are they employees? Are they contractors? What exactly are they? You sort of hit the nail on the head right there. If you have labor policy being dictated from the White House, then it matters very, very much who is sitting in the White House. If Congress isn't acting and the White House isn't acting, that only leaves the courts. So these are executive actions entirely in the control of the president. That means that if we get a new president who doesn't agree with them, he or she could unravel those regulations, those policies rather quickly.
And what does it say about the labor movement in general that some of its biggest victories lately have been by a president making executive orders in sort of a piecemeal way?
Let me give two possibilities. One possibility is simply that we're at a matter of stalemate with the U.S. Congress so that absolutely nothing can happen. You're not going to have any new measures on climate change. You're not going to have any new measures on labor policy, any new measures on immigration, that you simply have a deep freeze in Washington. And as a result, you're simply going to have policy either dictated top down from the White House or sort of percolating bottom up from the state government level. Finally, I would say, you know, it it does suggest that we are at a really interesting moment right now where I think people are recognizing that technologies, new technologies on our smartphone are giving workers powers, giving workers, well, giving employees, consumers powers and threatening the question of what really is a worker in 2015.
All right. Derek Thompson, senior editor at The Atlantic. Thanks very much.
Thank you.